Hello, ladies and germs, ladles and germs, welcome back to the Dominic Show, the after class show with Dominic, if you want to be specific. The Dominic Show just rolls off the tongue, if you ask me.
What are we talking about today, Well, I thought, here's the thing, right? There's only two more weeks of November this month, and it's running by fast. I just woke up, and it's been 2 weeks already. That's crazy. And I'm like, it's that weird anticipation, that weird feeling that you're slowly, it's gonna slowly creep up on you, and all your studying and all the stuff you've been doing for the past months is gonna go down the drain because of the exam, and you're gonna be done for, and you're gonna be done for. So it's trying times like these, stressful trying times like these, that we just need to compress and relax, right? I don't judge anybody. Some people might compress and relax by doing some kind of drug. Other people might just want to go to sleep. And all those are completely respectable opinions and valid, in my opinion. I don't do that kind of thing, unfortunately. I'm the type of person to stay up until 3 p.m. just staring at a wall, worrying about everything I have to do within the next coming weeks. So the best way that I can relax is, you've guessed it, video games. But not any kind of, not any specific kind of video game. A specific kind of video game. That's what I meant to say. A specific kind of video game, I'm talking about time sync games. And when I'm talking about time sync games, I more so mean games that bring me back to a time in the past where I remember myself as a kid playing the exact same game and thinking to myself, wow, I have so much free time. I've got this in the bag, right? That's the kind of time I want to bring myself back to when playing these kind of games. Obviously, there's exceptions to the rule. I've been grinding out Pizza Tower and all the P ranks for the past several weeks. Don't ask me how it's going. I'm doing terribly, thank you. But the main focus for the day, I think, it's the best and most imperative, would be to look at some of these games and kind of analyze why I love these kind of games, you know? I've got a few games that I've picked out, cherry-picked from what I've been playing for the past months, really. If whenever I'm stressed, I just go back to these games and just go into my little den, my little crypt that I call my room, and just play these until like 2 a.m., So, what better way to start off than to go back to the basics, back to the Flash era? Now, I don't know if any of you know specifically the Flash era, but I forgot to take off the cover. Whoops. They're going to chew me out of that. Anyway, hopefully that's usable. Sorry, editor. I'm so sorry, editor. Look, me and editor, we go way back, right? And I just disrespected them, and I have to apologize. I didn't take the cover off the microphone stand, and that was completely disrespectful of me. I did not mean to do that. Where was I? Right. Back to the basics. Back to Flash games. I don't know if you had this experience, but I remember back in the day when we had free time in the computer lab back in elementary school, back when I was in grade, 3. Cool Math Games was off the charts. People would go to the Papa's Pizzeria, and they just grind that out for who knows how long. For the adults, it was 40 minutes, but to us, it was a lifetime working at that pizzeria. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you never had a childhood, and I'm so sorry for you. But the people who do know, Cool Math Games was a conglomerate of different Flash games, or just games in general. You had Fire Boy and Lava Girl. No. Yeah. Fire Boy. I always get confused between the game and then the movie, Shark Boy and Lava Girl. It's Water Girl and Fire Boy, and then the other one is Shark Boy and Lava Girl. There you go. That's it. There's that game. And then there's also Run, where you're a little alien who's inside of, a tube-shaped contraption, and you have to dodge all the holes and all that kind of stuff. That was a pretty fun one. And the one that I always loved going to, it was usually blocked on most computers, but if I ever had the chance, I always went to Balloons Tower Defense 5 or 4. 5 or 4 were my all-time peaks because I've been using a computer since I was 2 years old. And I think since I was 4, I found a website called NinjaKiwi.com. And that changed the course of my gaming history forever. That set me on the path for tower defense games and goofy, outlandish titles. It's probably the reason why I'm so out of touch. I could have been playing FIFA. I generally could be playing FIFA and I would have like some kind of grasp on the mainstream audience, but I don't. And unfortunately, you're stuck with me. Anyway, Balloons Tower Defense 6 is the most recent title. And I have to say, they do take a lot of the charm from the original games. They do. It's all in 3D, which wasn't originally the case, right? Because back in the day, they used Flash, I think, to make the tower defense. And a tower defense game, for those who don't know, is a game where you have a track, usually, that a bunch of enemies go down. For some reason, they don't attack the towers. They just follow the path, and they try to get to the end of the path. Whenever an enemy gets to the end of the path, you lose a certain amount of lives, based on how egregious the enemy is. And of course, the main appeal is you have towers, where you spend money on, where you can build different turrets, different mechanics, all that kind of stuff. I think it started with Kingdom Rush. Kingdom Rush was the titular Flash title that spiraled this entire genre into the thing we know today. That one was a specific one where you had to place towers in specific slots that you would have to buy. And then there was only 4 types that you could upgrade. It was Archer Tower, there was a Mage Tower, there was a Barracks, and there was a Cannon Tower. Cannon Tower was goated. That Cannon Tower was MP, because if you upgraded enough, you'd get an AoE attack that just blew up all the enemies next to it. I'm getting off track. But the point was, is that I grew up with those games. Those games filled 4-year-old me with such glee. And Balloons Tower Defense is no different. That was the first one that actually took the tower defense genre and made it into the thing we know today. Because it didn't use specific slots they had to put towers in. The entire board that wasn't the track, you could put any type of monkey on it. Now I forgot to tell you about the plot of Balloons Tower Defense. Because it's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. You have monkeys who have darts and boomerangs. And they invent mechanisms such as tack shooters that shoot tacks in 8 different directions. And the goal isn't to defeat any kind of, like, orcs or any kind of stuff like that. It isn't fantasy in any... sentient balloons. Sentient balloons. They're not balloons. They're balloons. If you don't know the difference, you're not a real fan like me. I know the tower defense games! Not you! But Balloons Tower Defense was a very popular title, and it is still very popular today. I think it's probably one of the most popular tower defense games, once another very popular tower defense kind of lost its luster. I'm talking about Plants vs. Zombies. No. Plants vs. Zombies 1 was released in 2009. 2009. That was when Windows XP was, like, bumping, right? That was when... I was 4 when that happened. And the only memory I have of Plants vs. Zombies was me playing it on this bootleg website that just ripped it from the source code and allowed anyone to play it. I found a lot of games, allegedly found a lot of those games on those kind of websites. And I remember I didn't know how to play because I was just starting out. So I finally lost one as the zombies got to the end. And there was this blood-curdling scream when you lose, right? And I remember me immediately closing the website and start, like, bawling. Because I was so scared. I was so scared of this game. That was with most games. I think that kind of impacted me in a very negative way. Because I think I didn't try a lot of games like FNAF and all those other, like, horror games because I was too scared to play them. It's not the case now. But, like, I think back in the day, Plants vs. Zombies was probably one of the worst, but it was also one of the best experiences I've ever had with a tower defense game. Because then, the mobile game, Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out on the mobile platforms. you got iOS and you got Android. And I had an iPad at the time. So, you know me, 10-year-old iPad kid, I was grinding out Plants vs. Zombies. I love Plants vs. Zombies too. And the problem lies, I think, in when PopCap, the people who produced Plants vs. Zombies originally, got bought by EA. I think that was definitely the downfall. It wasn't the necessarily, like, it wasn't the nail in the coffin right away, but it slowly descended into corporate greed, which is very sad to me. Because it was a very fun game. It was extremely fun. But the problem was, is that, like, at the start, they're like, oh yeah, pay like $10 and you get a new tower. I'm not going to pay $10 for one tower. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Of course, I watched a lot of Let's Play videos, and they always had the entire roster decked out. And I just wondered, how much money did they spend on that? They must be rich. All those Let's Play channels are dead in the water now, though, so, you know. Shows you who's really on top nowadays. But back to it. I think after that, and after, I think Garden Warfare was a good step in the right direction. I think that they kind of took the original format of Plants vs. Zombies and just made an FPS shooter, which I think is really funny. I've never played the game, but I've seen people play it. I just love the concept. But then, as EA does, and as EA is wont to do, they just milk the product. They take their tweezers and they pluck every single thing that you could enjoy about it, and they shove it with microtransactions and just corporate greed and bad planning on the people's part. Because I can imagine at PopCap, there's still people who have passion with the product. But nowadays, what are you going to do with it? It's rife with ads. There's like 20 different spin-offs. You've got a card game now? Plants vs. Zombies wasn't supposed to be a card game. Come on. And then, you know, I'm not one to judge, obviously. Do whatever you want with your product. But it just seems to me that all these games that I've just loved over the course of years slowly bought into greed. I think Balloon's Tower Defense, I think, was a little bit better with that. Obviously, they still have to have microtransactions because the game constantly goes on sale. I think Epic Games, the Epic Games launcher, also has it literally for free for like a short amount of time. So I was like, yeah, obviously they have to add microtransactions because they're basically selling it at like pay-per-view. They're selling it for like nickels at this point. Like, if you sold Balloon Style Defense in 1929, more so, I think that'd be, like, at least 25 cents. I want to look up the conversion rate so badly, but I'm not going to do that for the sake of the listening audience right now. But let me tell you about Balloons Tower Defense 6 and their soundtrack. I like it a lot. People think it's kind of generic, and they're like, they're just like Dead Space games, right? I play Balloons Tower Defense 6 just to kill time in my brain so that I can, like, I don't know, catch up on Columbo, that the one detective show I've been watching for the past, like, week or so. But I like the soundtrack. I do enjoy Tim Haywood's production and his, like, musical genius inside of it. Because it kind of gives you that kind of jungle vibe, that swing vibe. It's neat. I like it a lot. So I'm just going to play the main theme. And we'll see how you like it. Wait, hold up. Oh my goodness. I have a soundboard? I'm so powerful! You do not know how much power I wield now. This is gonna be... Look, right now you had what I would call a six. The past four episodes have been a six. Now, it's a 10. I just figured out I had this now. Hold on. Let me whisk you away back into the main. I need to focus. I can't. I have a soundboard now. I can't look at the soundboard. It's calling me. It's calling my name. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll be here all night. Guys, you're too much.
Guys, stop.
Stop! Stop! Stop it!
Okay. I think they stopped laughing.
Okay.
Brought back some bad memories from elementary school. But yeah, I think the main appeal of these games is just, it's just straight dopamine. Like taking a little hit of like heroin or something like that, you just instantly, like when a balloon gets popped or like whenever that happens, you're just like, ah, I got you. And this little sound is, beautiful. And when you get to like bigger balloons and it just go, because like all the air is, and you know, it's just a titular video game for just a straight dopamine fix if you want that. They even, like, look, the game itself is so expansive nowadays is that now, like, the most recent update, they have a level editor. I love level editor. I'm going to make an entire episode about level editors one of these days. But for now, you just have this, right? You have a level editor. And also you have guilds, like in Clash of Clans. And I'm like, what? Like, there is Guild Wars where you have to fight over contested territory against other guilds. And you have different tiles that have different maps and different levels. And the cap of how many rounds there is and how many waves of balloons are shot out is based on the tile that you're trying to capture. It's just genius, and I don't understand why no one else has capitalized on this market, you know? Like, this kind of balloons, tower defense, cornered market. One more thing, and then I'll move on to the next game on this docket. Why are tower defense games, not even balloons, tower defense itself, why are tower defense games so odd, right? You have Plants vs. Zombies, which is a garden warfare against zombies weaponizing plants. One of the plants is a Gatling gun. It shoots peas like a Gatling gun. And it what confuses me is that it works so well, right? Like Pizza Tower and its delivery, like, it's so absurd, yet you understand exactly what's happening. Which I think is the kind of thematic sequence of this entire generation. Like, these games should make no sense. And yet they do. The monkeys do pop the balloons with their darts and their boomerangs and their tack shooters, right? It's just meant to be. I think that's beautiful in a way, you know? I feel like through absurdity, we can find meaning through that. But let's move on to the next title. This one is more of a guilty pleasure because I literally have this muted in my Discord notification. When you look at my profile, you will not see this game at all because I am ashamed of playing it. And the game in question is called My Singing Monsters. Now, here's the thing, right? When I was 8 and I had my iPad, and I got this game on my iPad, and I was playing this game on my iPad, I didn't realize that there was multiple islands. The main gist of the game is that you are a monster handler, right? And you coordinate all these monsters, and like the namesake of the title, each of them have a different voice on each different island, right? You have the plant island, which is the generic state-aligned default island, the one you start out with. And you just have a few little characters that just, like, do little vibrato things. So, like, the ice element monster just like, a boom, like a little bass line, right? But then you add stuff on top of that. You have, like, you have a water element monster that goes, like, that doo-wop, kind of like a doo-wop progression, which I think is pretty neat. And it just keeps building, because then you can breed those monsters together, and they make different monsters. And you eventually get the quad monster, because there's only a limit of 4 elements per island. And you have an entire musical composition at that point. And you think you're done. I thought I was done when I was 8. But no! There are, like, 20 different islands. There are 20 different islands, each with their own set of different monsters that you can buy and breed and all that kind of stuff. And even still, there's like, There is a specific monster where you have to collect all the monsters again, put it into the machine, which will create a new monster. And there's an entire different island that focuses on awakening these monsters using different monsters to put into them. Like, I did not expect this type of complexity in a children's game. I'm not here to do rocket science in a children's game. So, right. I thought it was going to be the end of it, right? I was 8 years old. I didn't know how to breed the rest of the monsters. So I was like, forget this. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I didn't realize that Google or WikiHow was a thing. So I just, I ditched the entire game altogether and I got bored of it. Fast forward to 2022. Yeah, 2022. When my, no, it was actually 20, it was this year. It was this year when my sister was playing the game. And I was like, that's Plants, that's My Singing Monsters, right? And she was like, yeah, it's on Steam now. It's on Steam now. It's on the computer now. We put the mobile game that I was my childhood for a solid year when I was 8 on the computer. For some reason, that blew my mind, so I immediately downloaded it. I played for a bit, and I got stuck in the same place, and I was like, yeah, forget this, I'm done. This stuff is too expensive. It costs like 500,000 gold to get a new island, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Then I realized that you can farm it, and you can grind it out, and I started getting more addicted to it daily. I go into it. It's like, it's a job now. It's literally a job now. I tend to these monsters like my own kin. I am the beholden handler for these monsters now. These monsters rely on me. If I don't come and feed them every day, they're gonna die. They're gonna die out there. They're gonna die without me. I have to go to them every day and I have to harvest their gold that they've somehow produced. I don't know how they do that. What, do they produce it inside their body? Do they make the gold? They spit out, they cough out the gold, and then they eventually just, and then you can buy, like, decorations to make your island look better? Is that how they do it? Do they create the gold using biological processes? I need to know! Blue Bubble, the makers of this game, please answer my emails. I've been contacting you for the past 10 years, and there's been no replies! I'm sorry, I just got a little heated. But, still. How do they make the money? How do they make the money? Because we know there is lore in this game. That's the weird. That's also the weird part. It seems like every single children's game now needs like a deep, like philosophical lore about the world and the characters, which I don't mind. But it has to be in the background, like this kind of game. If you put it in the forefront, like Plants vs. Five Nights at Freddy's or any of those other kind of games, I feel like it gets too out of hand. I feel like the fan base just kind of runs with it. But if you put it through the background, it doesn't matter because the game is in the forefront. It's playing the game that actually matters rather than having to make this like deep, contrasting lore that somehow supports the entire thing. It just seems like overkill to me. All those kind of games that rely on their lore dumps seem a bit like overkill. But I think another reason I love this game, right, is their goofy, ridiculous, surrealistic designs. Like, on the first island, you have monsters that have violins. It's pretty normal. They just look like Cookie Monster-esque designs with like they're just playing the cello or whatever. And then you have other designs, like Pummel, for example. Look up Pummel. Look up My Singing Monsters Pummel, right? He has a drum for a mouth, and he uses his tongue to hit his drum mouth, and he uses it as a bass drum. He uses his tongue mouth as a bass drum. And you know the best part is they don't get any less weird after that. Like, you have monsters that have an entire, like, DJ set, and they just go into the paint. Those are the more, like, sophisticated monsters that have, like, four elements. Two elemental ones are still interesting. The Furcorn is one of the most titular designs in My Singing Monsters. He's just, like, I think I watched a documentary about this. I'm pretty sure he was, like, the Genesis. He was the thing that all the monsters were based off of. He was just this Weasley-looking, like, sickly green fuzzball that just had a weird vibrato sound, like a ha. He shouldn't sound good, but when he has, like, all the cellos going behind him, he sounds good for some reason. And I like that. It's authentic. It doesn't have weird-ass reverb or anything like that. It's genuine, even though the monsters themselves are designed by people at the end of the day, right? And of course, it gets way more crazy after that. I've talked your head off about how, like, there's, like, different monsters that are required, like, you'd have to Frankenstein a bunch of different monsters together, and they have a certain time limit they have to put them in, so you have to specifically, like, strategize your breeding in order to make sure that they actually get the eggs in time before they expire. And then there's other monsters that, like, require even more from the magical islands, which are an entirely different subset of elements. Go play the game if you want to get addicted, but I do not recommend it. I generally don't recommend it. I'm sorry. Like, this is supposed to be a game. This is supposed to be, like, a show where I'm supposed to give you, like, oh, yeah, this is here's this game. Try this one out. Like, I can fully recommend you Plants vs. Zombies or Balloons Tower Defense 6. I cannot recommend you this game. It is free. Go get it if you want to. But, like, you will get sucked in. I'm not joking about that. You'll get sucked into the mess unless you just, like, you look at it once and you're like, I'm done. I don't want to have anything to do with this. And I respect you for that. Because I am addicted to this game. Like someone who is fiending for crack. I'm looking for the crack of this game. And I need to get all the monsters. There's a seasonal event. It's going to be Christmas soon. And they're going to have the Christmas monster. And he's like a Santa knockoff. And I need him. I need to add him to the island. Or else I'm not going to complete the collection, you guys. It's not going to happen. But that's my singing monsters for you. Look. The soundtrack for this is in the playlist I have, but I'm not going to play it for you because I don't want to. Here's the thing. It's a guilty pleasure for a reason. I play this game I lock my door before I play this game because I know it's a children's game. I know for a fact that if anyone saw me play this game, they're like, are you playing that game? Are you serious? Are you serious? You are practically, legally, an adult, and you're playing this game. And I would have to look them in the eye, and I would have to man up and say, I would have to stand up, and I would have to look them in the eye, and I would have to say, yes, I do play this game. If anything, I would have to man down. Man down. I'm on the ground, and I'm running as fast as I can. I'm closing that game as fast as I can if anyone barged in. I would not give the police my laptop if they would have found that game on my computer. Because at the end of the game, it's a children's game. It's meant for you to log in daily, collect all the resources, do whatever you need to do, unlock the new monster, and come out. But the reason why I like the game is because of the absurd songs that come out of it. Each monster not only is a neat little design that I can add to the collection, but also has a completely new voice that adds to the song. It builds the song. It's a tycoon game where you build the song, and I love that. It pleases my brain. It soothes it. How'd you like that, you guys? How'd you like that? How'd you like that? Here's the thing, right? If for some reason it works, that's the thing. For some reason, like, it shouldn't work. Like, the sounds, by themselves, the monsters sound so awful. But together, with all the instrumentation, and, like, the different, like, you literally heard dubstep in that. Like, you can't categorize a song like that. It isn't classical. It isn't electric. It isn't anything like that. It's just my singing monsters. And if you really feel like taking the plunge, taking the dive, then be my guest. But don't say I didn't warn you. All right, the last one on this list. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Now, this will require a bit of a backstory, so sit down. I'm going to be on my rocking chair as I regale you of me and my slowly increasing game addiction. So, back when I was a little wee lad, when I was like 3 or 4, right? My dad would have a collection of DDoS games that he played pretty frequently back in the day. I remember there was a lot of games on that shelf. Like, there was World of Warcraft that he never pulled out ever. But the main two that he always played, one was Master of Orion. I loved that game because it was just like, it was just a very pixelated, it was made in like 1993 or something like that. And it was just a very pixelated, turn-based strategy game where you just control fleets and either take over the galaxy or unite the galaxy. And I just loved that idea. And there was that little planet of Orion that had, like, the strongest ship ever. Like, if you try, even if you had, like, the most prepared, like, the best upgrades on your ships, you would die. I remember so many times where my dad would always have to retreat whenever he tried to take Orion into his little colony. But other than that, there was another game that I remember called Heroes of Might and Magic. I forget if it was the third one or if it was the first one. But either way, it was a game where you played little campaigns and you could pick like a specific hero that you controlled, basically. And you had to walk around the map and conquer other kingdoms. I think it was so cool because you could just, like, conquer, like, one kingdom, and you had, like, one, there was, like, a necromancer class that you just had, like, bony, skeletonized dragons under your, like, control. Each of them, I think, required you to, like, have to, like, use certain, like, buildings in order to build these units. But I remember it was so cool to me, and he would never let me play it, and I still regret that to this day. Because I was always like, hey, can I play? And he's like, not now, son. This is an adult game for adults. you can't play the funny little fantasy game where you have dragons and such. It'll scare you. It's been a running joke in my family for a while now. But I think those two games, you would classify both of them kind of as 4X games. I mean, turn-based strategy games, but 4X games in a certain sense. Because there was four different X's. You had extermination, exploitation. There's other two that I don't care about. But the point was, is that they were strategy games where you took turns between vast territories and you were able to upgrade anything that you would like and play the game however you would like. Either you want to be a pacifist or antagonistic. And I think that's what led me to Civilization VI. Or Civilization 5, even. I remember back in the day, I looked at that game and I was like, oh yeah, I want that game. Because I think, subconsciously, it reminded me of the good old days when I was back with my dad and I was... My dad's still alive. I don't know why I said it like that, but no, my dad's still alive. And I remember I was just sitting on this, like, on the, like, swivel chair and beside him, and my sister would also come in, and we'd just all, like, watch my dad just crush one of these, like, kingdoms with like, either his Earth Elementals or his skeleton army. It was just such a fun time, and I think that was the main reason why I picked up Civilization V, because I was, like, 14 at the time, and I was like, yeah, I want to play that game. And the first time I played it, I was like, yeah, this is neat, because you have a bunch of different civilizations that you can play as. Anywhere from spanning from Julius Caesar from ancient Rome to, I don't know, George Washington from America. You would control these cities and you'd get little bonuses based on what civilization you played. Like, for example, Rome had a specific perk that allowed them to, like, grow more fast, like, grow their population faster. And I think America had a specific thing to do with their navy. But the main focus is to be able to expand your civilization to however you would like, right? So in Civilization VI specifically, that's a more of a black sheep in the title, because a lot of people are saying, like, oh, yeah, it's not authentic to the Civilization experience. And, like, no, they literally added two extra victory states. Because in Civilization V, you can win in, I think, four different ways. You can conquer every single person's capital city. You can convince them of... You can assimilate everyone else's cultures using your beautiful musicians and writers. You can... What was the third one? You can build enough science so that you can go to space. And I think the final one was be able to diplomatically crush your opponents and make a regime where you're on top. So crushing your opponents in a more political sense than rather a war sense. But in Civilization VI, they added an extra victory where you can win by religion. So you can literally spread your religion to everyone and win the game that way as well. I've been having a lot of fun with this game recently, but the problem is that it's one of those games that are a slow burn. You can't just, like, it's like a game where you literally have to turn your brain off and just go, right? It's almost looking at yourself in the third person and playing the game more as a movie than actually playing the game. I also play this game with, like, podcasts and, like, music I want to listen to, or even Columbo. Go watch Columbo. Forget about all these games. Go watch Columbo. It's probably one of the best detective shows I've ever seen in my life, because I've only watched that one. But besides the point, I think Civilization VI also has a very good pull, because you can literally name your cities whatever you want. So, I bastardize all... I play Ancient Rome, right? And I just bastardize all the names. I can't even say the names on here. But you can also name the religion that you spread to other civilizations as well. So, I just love the notification pop-up and, like... For example, the game I'm playing right now, just, like, seeing Big Beef has increased his follower base by 6. For some reason, that just fills me with so much joy. Because you can name anything, whatever you want. And you can play the game however you'd like. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what all these games... Not all these games, but I think that game specifically, and specifically those that genre of 4X games, have in common. You can play the game however you'd like. And, yeah, I think another game in the same vein as well is Stellaris, I think it's called. It's a very, like, hyper-focused, it's not turn-based, it's real-time, which means that all the actions happen within a certain amount of time, and based on how fast you can react is how fast the turn takes, basically. Another thing about these games, too, is that they take a long time. Unless you're planning to stay up until 6 a.m., you're not finishing a game until... I'm still working on this one game that I've been playing that's been spanning over the course of the week. That's the same one that has Big Beef as the religion I'm trying to spread. And it is fun. It's a nice way to kind of take off steam, because instead of focusing on assignments that I have to do, I'm focusing more so on... trying to get enough, like, faith in order to buy disciples to spread the religion further. Like, speaking about this game, like, from a story standpoint, is really funny to me. Because I'm just like, oh yeah, this one civilization, Rome, was able to spread their entire religion, Big Beef, to their neighbor civilization of Sumeria and Brazil. It's beautiful to me. It's poetry. It rhymes. I think the main reason why I've been talking about these games is also because they kind of hold a sentimental value to me. Not necessarily because of the games themselves, but because they tie so closely to my history and how I've been enraptured by video games for so long. I think that's mainly the reason why I shared these with the listening audience at home.
Also, depending on if anyone was listening to begin with.
I feel like video games have a pull that no other medium has. I feel like they're able to pull you into a world like no other medium can. Because movies require you to look at a screen and you look at it through another lens, right? And books are even further out because they're just words on a page. But they also have their own places and their own regards. But I think video games have the most sense of immersion because you control the person, the protagonist, right? You are the person who's doing these things. You are the person who's placing these monkeys down, and you are the person who's growing these plants in order to defeat the zombies, right? It's being able to be place yourself into these kind of worlds and use the video game as a sort of medium in order to portray this absurdist reality that would never come to light, right? It just makes sense in a way. Like, this is the final evolution. We started with writing, we moved on to movies, and we're going to end with video games. What's after this? What would be after this? What would you make after this? Because virtual reality seems like an even closer step, right? The closer you can get to immersion is literally just being able to, like, put a chip inside your brain and just rewriting reality. Which I think is a bad step to take, in my opinion. Elon Musk, I don't get any ideas, Elon Musk. I know you're listening to this. Oh, I know you're here, Elon Musk, but don't. I swear, you better pay me royalties at least, or else I'm going to be very cross. But yeah, I think that is the main reason, the main pull of these games. Now let's talk about the soundtrack. I'm going to end you off on the soundtrack of Civilization. I'm going to pull from the specific game I'm playing right now. I'm playing Ancient Rome, so I'm going to pull from there. It's very good study music as well. It's just basic, like, travel sounds and all that kind of stuff. It's neat. I like it. If I could find it, of course. I'm not prepared for this. Oops. This one only has the beginning ones. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? Oh, they sorted it by... Oh, I see. No, they didn't. What are they doing? Ah. Here we go. Should be... Oh, yeah, there's one more thing. I forgot about this. One of the... For the Canadian civilization, guess who it is? It's Wilfrid Laurier. Who would have guessed? You can play as Wilfrid Laurier in Civilization VI. That's the main pull. If you love this campus and you love this university, then you better pick up Civilization VI because you can play as Wilfrid Laurier and you can crush your foes in melee combat. Strike them down with the hand of God. I think it is right here we go. I think this is it. All right. I'm going to leave you off with this. I hope you guys have a pleasant night. Keep on studying. I hope you guys do well on your exams in the coming weeks. And yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.